And we are finishing our two-part series on giving thanks. And as I said last week, we gave you some tips on how to be grateful and how to be thankful. At least for the first portion of this message this morning, we're going to go through with a little bit of satire and sarcasm, things you can do to be ungrateful. And so as we look at this, I'm sure many of you want to get out pens and papers and take notes on this so you can make sure that not only do you express to your Lord how ungrateful you are, but to those around us as well. So Psalm 103, 1 and 2, a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Instead of sharing ways to be grateful this Thanksgiving, let's go the other way. And here are a few suggestions as your preacher that I can offer to you to help you stay miserable and to dig deep to maintain a sense of being overly critical of those around you this Thanksgiving year. All right. Number one. Make sure you keep a list of all the wrongs others have done to you. Make sure you keep a list of all the wrongs others have done to you. It is always helpful to keep extremely accurate details and overly specific memos about those that have mistreated you through the year. Okay, you want to make sure that you really focus on that. Be sure to keep files. Might need a file folder, one in your computer maybe. You've got your cell phone, you've got your notes page, you could keep things in there. That way when you see somebody that has wronged you, you can really make sure that you bring up why you dislike them so much. Be sure to keep these files on everyone and be sure to have them readily available to revisit. In case you find yourself wanting to move on in your life and trying to forgive them, this will be able to help you to hold the grudge and to continue with the negative attitude. No. But here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I've got that inverted there. My dyslexia maybe kicked in. 1 Corinthians 13, 5. Is what that love does not take into account a wrong suffered. And that's the way we should look at it. The Lord looks at us, having looked down through the blood of Jesus Christ, and says, "What sin?" Because he doesn't see it in us. However, when we look at others, what do we recall? You know, there are times where it may take a few moments, a few days, weeks to get over something, some hurt that's happened. But if that hurt continues for years and years and years down the road, that's your fault. We've used this phrase before, let it go. Because things like that, according to Scripture, how can we expect for the Lord to forgive us? It says that He won't forgive us if we don't forgive others. It's that simple. Some of you that watch the Big Bang Theory series may remember in the final episode where Sheldon wins the Nobel Prize and wants to, in his 90 minutes that he's permitted to be able to speak, list out all those people that have wronged him through the years. And if you've seen the series, you know that as it goes through the series that occasionally he'll bring that up. Well, his friends and his wife distract him from that goal and then help him to avoid a 90-minute tirade of the people that have wronged him by giving a meaningful tribute to his friends and his family. And so, you know, we have those lists, or I hope we don't have those lists. Once many years ago, when I first started preaching, Tam and I was talking with a husband and wife. The gentleman was a preacher, and they were telling a story of her father that had kept, just as we said, a file on everybody that had wronged him through the years so that he could, you know, remember not to move on and to keep those harsh memories alive. That does no one any good, especially you. Number two, stay distracted. Make sure you stay distracted. In this world of social media, it is easy to be distracted and become jealous of others. What I'd like for you to do is encourage you all to remain focused on social media this year. Whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and see how wonderful everyone else's lives are. Or how important it is for you to learn how to shuffle. Right? Every time I bring up something on TikTok or something, it's how to shuffle, how to shuffle. And I'm not talking about cards. As much as possible, remind Christians to have hard feelings toward others. It's always good when you're at a social event, or you're at church, you're at Bible study, to lean over to the Christian next to you and tell them how other Christians have made your life so miserable. Okay, that's something to help keep you distracted. Be sure to encourage each other to stew in regret whenever there seems whenever they see others achieve more. Try to cut them down. Make sure that, you know, if somebody's had good fortune, been blessed with something, or they've been able to do things, they've been able to present God's word somewhere, that we don't look at them at like, well, why aren't they here? But how blessed they are to be there, right? That's what sometimes I know at different times of the year, we have several of our people from the congregation gone to other congregations to help preach or whatever it may be. And the sad thing is when you hear then the Christians from here say, well, why do they always call us? Why can't they get help somewhere else? Why do they need help? Because that's, as Christians, what we're supposed to do. That we're supposed to do, not just within our congregation. I want for you to realize that the Church of Christ is bigger than these four walls, people. And we need to understand that. And so when others go about doing good and you want to tear that down, please be careful. Be sure to look at other people's blessings and wonder why great things do not happen to you. When the fact of the matter is, we are so blessed. So, so blessed. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Now that's something kind of, you know, Rick was talking about that cup this morning. He faced it, not wanting to, asking for the, but did it with joy. And we see that even in our giving of thanks, that we're supposed to do this. When it's hard to do that, we as the Christians are to be different. We're not to be succumbed and fall into the mindset of the world. As Romans 12, 2, 1 and 2 tells us to have that different mindset. But fixing our eyes on Jesus as he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Instead of being distracted on the negative, How about this for this Thanksgiving? Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. And I didn't go in this room here this morning, so I don't know if they're still in there or not. On the walls, did those get taken down already? They're still in there. Go through there. Several of the kids from the school put down things that they're thankful for. You know what? And sometimes I think those kids think much deeper than we do. Some of those are quite humbling things that they put down in there that they are thankful for. Colossians 3:2 says to set your mind on things above and not things on the earth. Number three, focus on yourself during your prayers. Okay? Now remember, we're number one. Okay? We're number one. Got to make sure that we keep ourself there. Why should we bother glorifying God? Right? I mean, he already knows what he's done. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's quite aware of his power and his glory and his majesty. I mean, do we really want to feed into his ego? Instead, let's use our prayer as more of a wish, like a genie. You know, like rubbing a rabbit's foot for good luck. Keep your prayers about remembering how I'm number one. How fortunate you guys are that I'm here this morning. Right? Make sure you list what you want and what you desire. And then, just to let God know that you're serious, add a few threats in there. You need to do that to make sure that we're on this, so that we need to let God know that, you know, we're not going to trust or follow him unless we get what we want. But Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. You know, nothing leads me to be more cautious than when somebody comes up to you and says, well, the way I see it, because then I'm just like, you're not looking through the Heavenly Father's eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So I hope that you understand that there was some sarcasm there, because I was trying to lay it on pretty thick. But you know, just take a few short moments and try to consider those in Scripture that didn't feel like being thankful, but were. Because we're told to give thanks in all things in Christ Jesus. But consider Joseph. Did he feel like being thankful when he was sold into slavery or thrown into prison? Oh, thank you, Lord. This is so much better than my 11 brothers. Is that what he did? You know? It was hard to be thankful. But he could be thankful he wasn't dead. Right? He could be thankful that the Lord, as time went on, helped him in every event that happened in his life. One of the favorite, I can't remember if it was a message by Joe Beam, but talks about Joseph and just shows the roller coaster ride of his life. And you know what? Life can be a roller coaster ride. But we need to make sure that when we, even at the top of the peak, when everybody's, woo, right? That we thank God. And when we hit the bottom, and we're all headed the other direction, thank God. It's not the popular way, but it's the biblical and godly way. How about Moses? Right? When you have a nation of 2 million people turn on you, you think he went back to his tent and was like, thankful, Lord? Yeah. I'm thankful that we're not in Egypt. I'm thankful that, you know, and you can list off the blessings, or you can choose to look at the negative. We can do whatever we want. But these are ones that even after they did that, after the people basically turned on Moses, he still went and pled to the Lord on their behalf not to wipe them out. Because God says, I'm just ready to start over. Do you think he ever looks down at us and says the same thing? So we are God's chosen people. How about David? Right? When he is betrayed and pursued to be killed by God's anointed servant. That's rough. But he chose to be thankful. Did Isaiah or Jeremiah feel like being thankful when God's people would not listen to them and repent? To put Isaiah and Jeremiah as the only ones there is short of the list. We've got it all the way up through the apostles where people wouldn't listen to them. That's why Jesus tells them that if you go into a city and they won't listen to you, what should you do? Dust your feet off and move on. But they went on their way rejoicing. And we see that more than one time in the book of Acts. Because they chose to do that. Did the disciples feel like being thankful when persecuted and thrown into prison? Paul and Silas, what did they decide to do? Right? Had a concert break out. Right? They grabbed up the harmonica. I mean, there's always a harmonica in prison somewhere, right? And they, you know, maybe a guitar. And they sang praises to Jesus. And that led to the very first version of Jailhouse Rock. Hey, read your Bible. It's in there. It's in there, man. Or how about our Lord as we looked at the whole Sunday school time? You think our Lord felt like being grateful while he's hanging on the cross for you and for me? But yet the whole time he kept the Lord's will in his mind, the Father's will in his mind. He's right. He could have cursed them all and called down a myriad of angels. As was said in Scripture, that this could happen. Satan knew it. Satan tried to get him to do that in Matthew 4. Revelation tells us the same thing. That they're there ready to go, just waiting. But he chose to be thankful in some very difficult circumstances. Now, as we take a look at our life, is our life quite so bad? It kind of makes us, I hope, in a certain way, feel ashamed. Because, as my wife says, I get way too often the woe is me attitude. And we start to think, oh, it's so terrible, it's so bad. But when we stop and we look at what the Lord has done for us, I used this last week, I talked about it this past week to several people, and it's just a good reminder, that old hymn that we used, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. Because even when we have a terrible day, whatever is the worst thing that you could possibly think of or imagine in your mind, God's still there. He has not left you. You can choose to walk away from Him, but He is still there. He is constant. And for that, He deserves our thanks, our praise, our honor, and our glory. In each situation, they experience hardships beyond what any of us have ever experienced in many cases. I'm sure not a single one of them physically felt thankful during their struggle. And we've all been there, as Rick talked about, that weight of the world, in a sense, on our shoulders. Maybe it's because of our sin. Maybe it's because of our concern, not our worry. We're Christians. We don't do that. But because of our concern that we have for others, that we get so weighted down. But they were thankful, and they endured and pressed on because they knew that it was the Lord's will. They were thankful to be counted faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 says, "Remind us of what God's will is in Christ. Rejoice always, praying without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Hopefully, as Christians, we all got the joke that we were talking about this morning. And we'll call ourselves on our actions when we fail to meet these, or when we fall into these selfish practices. Just a little bit of history of our nation's starting of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving started during the time of the pilgrims who came to worship God freely. After suffering through drought and facing death and illness, the surviving members of the community joined together. Now, just mind you, these are ones that probably lost a spouse, probably lost children. Maybe their moms and dads, so it would be the kids' grandparents, died on the way over. I mean, there was a great number of them that perished, and yet they still took time to thank God. We can focus on those that we've lost. And I think we should take time to maybe remember them. But how about those that are flesh and blood that are still around the table on Thursday? That as you get together, whatever, whenever that may be, that yes, we may certainly miss some. But how grateful and thankful we are for those that are around us. I think that should not only happen around the Thanksgiving table, but I think as Christians, that's something that should happen around the Lord's table. It'd be pretty disappointing and a bummer if I came here this morning and it was just Josh Burton doing the meditation and myself sitting in the pew. As I look out, I'm thankful for each and every one of you that's here. That's a part of communion. The sharing with one another. Sharing with one another as we share with Him. Are we thankful for those things? Thanksgiving was made an official holiday in 1864 when President Lincoln declared the last Thursday of November Thanksgiving Day. And so now, as we look at that, we all know that date and who did it and the president and things of that nature. But do we recall what was going on in our nation's history at that time? Talk about division, right? We just come out of an election where we said that, you know, we're hoping it brings unity. But there is no doubt there is a great divide amongst our people today. It was such a great divide 150 years ago that the nation was almost doomed to be split over it. And yet our president decides we're going to stop and give a national day of thanksgiving to our God in heaven. At the time that the declaration was made for Thanksgiving, was in the height of the Civil War. Sherman was marching through Georgia at the time, and we know what happened there. And the deaths were piling up on both sides. Lincoln was reelected, and hope was high in that the North would end, in the North, that the war would end soon. A time of reflection on blessings, a time to recognize our moral shortcomings. Do we have a time in our nation where that happens today? a time of repentance for our sin and simply a time to praise God for all that He's done and for who has done so much for us. Over this holiday of thanks, over time, has become less about religion and less about repentance and less about restoration. And I fear that most of us as Christians have probably fallen into this as well, that it's more about the economy, it's more about sports, and it's more about traveling and being out and about. In the craziness of this modern world, it's easy to lose sight of what Thanksgiving truly means. And not just in our country, but as a Christian, how blessed we are to be in this country. Yeah, it's got its faults. It's got its downsides. It's got its chaos. But I thank God that I'm a part of the United States of America. And I thank God first and foremost that I'm able to be a Christian wherever I go. As Christians, our faith in God is vital to our lives. And we learn the importance of spreading joy and thankfulness for what we have. As life goes on, and it will, until the trumpets sound or you're called home, one of the two, we must continue this Thanksgiving and continue to grow our faith in God for that. On that original Thanksgiving, the thanks was given not only for the provisions that He had given to them, but you know, Thanksgiving happens just as winter is starting, just as the cold and the snow and the snow and the snow comes. And yet the Lord still wants for us to be thankful. And may we thank Him. Not only for the blessings that He has given us, but thank God for the plan of salvation that He has given for us so that we can be with Him one day. That it's not contained to one small group of people. That it's open to all who will believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. To all who will repent of their sin, confess Him as Lord through their repentance, to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin, and then live their life faithfully. And a way that we do that and show our faithfulness is through our giving of thanks for what He has done for us. As we celebrate this week, be ever mindful of what He's given for us. Not just in this country and the physical blessings that we have, but that His Son went to Calvary for you and for me. Which I think in turn, George has used this before, and I agree, that just, so let's just say you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus, but just simply following the Christian pattern of life will give you a better way of living. But we do that through faith, in that the Lord will take us home and call us home one day to be with Him. Then we'll be able to give thanks to Him and praise Him for all eternity. Will you stand?